Do you desire to see the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ truly blessed and powerful? Hopefully you do. For if you do, you must be willing to hear the infallible and inerrant Word of God when it directly speaks to this question, which chapter 31 of Isaiah clearly does. For in this chapter of Isaiah, you see the Lord declaring the folly and foolishness of seeking incorrect, unbiblical, and disobedient ways of seeking blessing and protection. And the only way to true blessing and protection for the people of God, for the church of God. Oh, if the truth of this chapter was applied in the church today, how different things would be rather than seeing the church ignored and mocked as it is presently done. And what is the truth of this chapter that you must be willing to embrace to be an instrument of blessing and not burden for the Church of Christ? Simply put, you must see the folly of looking to idolatrous man rather than the Lord as the source of blessing and protection for His church. For in the example of the people of God in Isaiah's day, as Isaiah writes about here in chapter 31, you see first the folly of seeking the help of idolatrous man to solve the problems the people of God were having. Verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Then you see reasons for why this action is so foolish. Verses 2 to 5. Yet he, speaking of the Lord, also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down, and they all shall fall or fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against them, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. The folly of looking to men rather than God is the seam of the fact that men are that, just men. And only the Lord can ultimately protect and bless and preserve his church. But then you see the remedy for this folly of looking to idolatrous men rather than God. Verses 6 and 7. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. It's by turning back to the Lord that the church can know true blessing. And then finally, you see the reason why this is so. The only way that the church can know true blessing and power is because the Lord, when the Lord stands to move on its behalf, no one can stand in the Lord's way. Verses 8 and 9. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young man shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. So if you truly want the Church of Jesus Christ to know blessing and power, you must receive the woe of the Lord when He reveals and declares through Isaiah, as He does in verse 1, when His people are seeking the wrong ones to help them. Verse 1 again. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, which were present in Egypt, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. See, this was why God was pronouncing another woe against His people through Isaiah. They were seeking the wrong means of protection and blessing. Now, the people of God in Judah and Jerusalem were facing serious trouble. We'll come to that later in Isaiah 37 when you see the reality of the Assyrians, how they desired to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. So Judah and Jerusalem were facing serious trouble from the godless, from the idolatrous Assyrians. But rather than seeking the help of the Lord, what were they doing? And this is the reason for this woe. What were they doing? They were turning to the Egyptians for help. They were seeking man's help rather than the help of the Lord, which was in direct disobedience to the revealed will of God for them. Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. But he, speaking of a king in Judah, or the kings that would rise in Judah, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. God in his word has clearly told his people, you're not to go back to Egypt. You're not to seek Egypt for help. And yet that's exactly what they are doing here as they are rebuked by God and warned by God in this opening verse. Do you see the folly of this course of action by God's people here? They were not only directly disobeying the Lord, but they were seeking the help of the idolatrous and godless Egyptians against the godless and idolatrous Assyrians. See, it's impossible for the people of God to know the blessing and protection and power of God if they are walking in disobedience to His revealed will for them and seeking the help of idolaters rather than the Lord. And that's what the people of God were doing here. That's why Isaiah writes what he writes here. And when the New Covenant Israel, which is the New Testament church, when the New Testament Israel, the New Covenant Church, does exactly the same thing that Judah was doing here, it cannot expect to know the blessing, protection, and power of the Lord either. And how does the church do this today? Well, what does the Lord tell His church that it is to do, as recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what counsel hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What Paul is saying here is exactly the same thing that Isaiah, or what Paul is saying here to the Corinthian church is exactly the same thing that Isaiah is warning the people of God in his day. The church is not to look to union with idolaters as a means of overcoming the assault of other idolaters. See, Judah was looking for the help of Assyria, or the help of Egypt to help it against Assyria. And when the church thinks that it has to enter into union with idolaters to overcome the assault of other idolaters upon the church, we're doing exactly the same thing that was happening in Isaiah's day. When the church today seeks union and communion with those who deny the biblical gospel, when the church today seeks union and communion with idolaters in attempting to overcome the influence and power of other idolaters, it's no different than Judah seeking the help of idolatrous Egypt with the trouble it was having with idolatrous Assyria. For when the church sees it necessary or even advantageous to align with religious idolaters, despite the warning of God not to, in order to defeat secular idolaters, it needs to hear the woe of Isaiah 31, verse 1. How many in the church see the ecumenical movement as necessary to defeat evolutionary secular humanism? Even though men can profess to believe in a God, but still be idolaters, because the God they profess to believe in is not the true and only God who reveals Himself in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish argument of those who support ecumenical union between Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and whoever else confesses some form of deity is, well, they believe in God. But the evolutionary, secular humanist, well, he doesn't believe in God. Therefore, union with these people who confess to believe in some form of deity is necessary for the church to defeat the destructive influence of evolutionary secular humanism. But this reasoning, my dear people, is no different than the reasoning that the Lord pronounces His woe against here in verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. What does it matter if you have great numbers? You are still seeking the help of idolaters. How blind the visible church is today, for it cannot expect the blessing of God to rest upon it when it is being disobedient to His revealed will to come out from idolatry and be separate. That is one of the founding principles of this fellowship, to separate from apostasy. For biblical Christianity is what? It is the revelation of the living, true, and only God. That's what biblical Christianity is. That's what we profess to hold to here. But what are the world religions? World religions are the ideas of men who have been deceived by demons. And so how can the church think it's going to be blessed if it enters into union with those who are being deceived by demons? This is why Paul was so adamant about believers not going to their idolatrous temples. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Yet how many in the church today think that the only way of overcoming the assault of atheistic humanism is to align with those who embrace some form of deity? How many in the church today think that they know better than the Lord as to how to overcome error? You see, it wasn't ecumenical dialogue that got believers in the first century thrown into prison and thrown to the lions. It was their refusal to embrace the idolatry they were surrounded by. The church has the living and true God and His infallible and inerrant word. All that the religions of men have are the deluded writings of men who are under the power of the wicked one and not the Holy Spirit of God. Believer, you have and know the Lord God Almighty as Father. Is not looking to Him and trusting Him better than thinking idolaters can help the church? Who can imagine what He would do, what the Lord would do, if the church started to look to Him and not to their foolish man-centered solutions? Because notice, Isaiah not only pronounces woe against such foolishness and folly in verse 1, he also gives reasons why it is so foolish. Verses 2 to 5 again, starting with verse 2. Yet He also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Who knows better how to bless and protect the church? The Lord or those who deny Him and serve idols? The wisdom of unregenerate men is foolishness in the sight of God. And when the church seeks the help of unbelievers, even as Israel was seeking the help of Egypt here, when the church seeks the help of unbelievers in solving its problems, it can only expect the chastising hand of the Lord. The Lord is not going to bless the church when it seeks the help of idolaters and not the help He alone can supply it with. For I ask you again a very simple question. Who knows what's best for the church? Idolaters who reject the Word of God and the saving gospel it declares are the one who bled and died for it. The wisdom of man is foolishness in the sight of God. So how can the church expect to be blessed when it is rejecting the Lord's Word and embracing the foolish ideas of idolaters? Yet many churches today are listening to the foolish ideas of fallen men, rather than the infallible and inerrant Word of God. The church must change if it is to be effective in the 21st century. It must dialogue, it must not declare, it must see validity and truth in the great religions of men and not preach the idea that Jesus is the truth and the only way to God. The people of God in Isaiah's day were seeking the idolatrous Egyptians rather than the living God who had called them out of Egypt. How can the church, which has been called out of darkness into the wonderful light of the Lord, expect anything but problems when it seeks the help of men who are still in the dark to combat darkness? For when the visible church bends over backwards to make idolaters comfortable in it, it's a disobedient church. When many churches put up signs, and you probably have seen these around, when many churches put up signs that say, "All are welcome," it shows how much the church has embraced the man-centered idea of pluralism and not separation. Because think of it from this perspective. There's a meeting house, there's a church so-called, and it's got that sign, "All are welcome." What is that church going to do if two impenitent sodomites or lesbians come and want to become a part of that church? Well, you say, "All are welcome." But if the church says, "We are holding forth the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ," then the society knows, what is that message? I need to go hear what the church is saying. But if you just say this, "Well, all are welcome," what happens when the one who walks in the door wants to preach or teach something that isn't in accordance with the Word of God? Then suddenly that person becomes very unwelcome if it's a church that wants to maintain the essentials of the faith. The idea is, in order to reach the world, we've got to be accommodating rather than preach the truth. See, the church will be powerful when it's pure. God is not going to bless disobedience. He is going to chastise the church. And when the majority in the church think that the church growth ideas of men who deny the verbal and plenary inspiration of the Word of God are the techniques that the church must use to be effective in the 21st century rather than the Scriptures that were once and for all delivered to the church, you see how God is being dishonored and man is being exalted. And when such ideas become the accepted teachings and practices in the church will become less effective rather than more effective. Because if the salt loses its saltiness, it cannot expect to impact this idolatrous culture. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has the infallible and inerrant Word of God. All the religions and philosophies of men are the ideas of demonically deceived men. Go to demonically deceived men for help. See, you can't start a fire by pouring water on it. And the church will never know the presence and the power of the Lord in this world if it keeps polluting what it is with the false religions and teachings of men. That's why Isaiah was so upset here with Judah. They were seeking the help of idolaters rather than turning to the Lord for the help He alone can provide them with. The church cannot do the Lord's work using the devil's ideas. The church cannot know the Lord's blessing if it is courting the favor and acceptance of idolaters. That which is holy will be polluted by its contact with that which is not holy. And all men's religions are unholy. A holy church is a force to be reckoned with. You see this in the book of Acts, but not a compromising church. Do you think the Egyptians would have been willing to help Judah if they had told them the truth about their idolatry? "We want your help, but we are opposed to all your idols." No, we're just going to take a blind eye to all your idolatry. Do you think that there would be all this ecumenical cooperation if the church universally stood on John 14:6 and Acts 4:12? The reason for this folly is also seen in verse 3. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helped shall fall and he that is helped shall fall down, and they shall all fall together. Believers can't defeat idolaters by looking to the help of other idolaters. As I emphasize this again, because the Lord is against both. See, when Judah went and sought the help of Egypt against the Assyrians, they had forgotten that God was opposed to both Egypt and Assyria. The Lord was against both. The Lord was opposed to the idolatrous Egyptians and the idolatrous Assyrians. They are both groups of idolatrous men in rebellion against the Lord, who holds their breath in His hands. The Egyptians will not be helpful to you. Both you and they will be defeated in your ungodly alliance. See, God does not accept the idolatries of Islam or the idolatry of secular humanism. And the church thinks, and when the church thinks it can defeat the secular idolater by aligning with the religious idolater, it's doing exactly what the people were doing in Isaiah's day. The names may have changed, but the corrupt idea remains. What is the corrupt reasoning that is popular in much of the visible church today? For the church of God to survive, it must align with one group of idolaters to stand against another. See, there was a time when the voice of the gospel church was taken seriously. But it's not taken seriously today. Why? Because its true message has been diluted and denied by the apostate church that gives the false and idolatrous views of man equal value and validity with the infallible and inerrant Word of God. How can Christians join in union with Muslims or Jews unless they are willing to say, we're going to give equal validity to what you are saying? Let's dialogue together rather than declare the truth. You read back in the church history, there were times when the Muslims were seen for what they are, infidels, who needed the gospel. Not for ones to be entered into in ecumenical cooperation because of the secular humanist. How many or how few in the church today are willing to say, and I'll challenge you with this, how many or how few in the church today are willing to say that every view not supportable by the Word of God is wrong? It's not just a difference of opinion, it's wrong. So what if the major religions of men in Islam and Judaism acknowledge one God? They are still idolatrous views of God, because both Islam and Judaism reject the truth that God is one in essence and three in person. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Things are so, and this is so interesting or so sobering, dear people. Things are so messed up in the visible church today that you have a portion of the visible church aligning with idolatrous Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and Jews to combat godless, corrupt, atheistic humanism. Whereas you have other segments of the visible church laboring to appear acceptable to the atheistic scientific community by saying that the godless, corrupt, false teaching of Charles Darwin is compatible with the pure, infallible, and inerrant teaching of the Word of God on origins. How can you expect anything less than the church to have no voice in a culture when it is so confused in what it is to be? Such confusion is only going to lead to a further weakening of the church unless it repents. Let us not make gods of the foolish and false ideas of men, making them our hope and confidence and expecting from them what is to be found in God alone. They are not God. They cannot do for us what God alone can do and will do if we trust in Him. Let us not then neglect Him, but seek Him. Let us not forsake the Rock of Ages for broken reeds. Let's not forsake the fountain of living water and the Word of God for the broken cisterns of fallen man's ideas. See, I don't deny that there are large numbers of Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. I don't deny that. But their numbers do not change the fact that they are teaching and confessing that which is false and directly contradicted by the infallible and errant teaching of the Word of God. And so seeking alliances with those who embrace error will prove to be as useless to the church as seeking the help of the Egyptians was by the people of God in Isaiah's day. The church cannot expect and will not know the blessing of God upon disobedience. See, God's not going to unite with the devil to accomplish his work of saving his people from the devil. Because it is God's work to preserve and protect his church. You are not to take into your hands what the Lord alone can do. Men in the church think that they must use human methods to protect and preserve the church, and they forget what the church is. The church is the work of God. The church is the body of Christ. It is His bride. He will protect it. He will preserve it. He will build it. When Peter was arrested by the idolatrous Herod, what did the church do? It prayed. It did not seek alignment with idolaters in seeking his release. Seeking the help of rebel men to protect the church is a denial of who purchased the church, who preserves it, and who protects it. God can protect his people who are trusting in him better than any sinful alliance with idolaters. And that's what Isaiah wants Judah to know here. For consider verse 4. That describes the ability of the Lord to protect His people. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. When the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, arises to protect and help the church that is seeking His help and protection, no one will be able to stand against him or it. Rather than seeking all these ungodly alliances, the church should be standing still and see what the Lord can do for those who are looking to him to do what he alone can do. Consider the Egyptians. They could not do what God did through his angel in one night. They're going down to Egypt and we need your help against the godless Assyrians. God in one night did what the Egyptians could never have done. 185,000 Assyrians dead on the battlefield. See, when God arises to move to protect His church, no one can stand against Him. Who can comprehend what the Lord will do and can do for His church if it repented of all its sinful compromise and ungodly alliances? What can all those aligned with the devil do against the lion of the tribe of Judah? The Lord will preserve His people. When the church thinks that it must maintain itself by sinful alliances, it has departed from the Word of God. Notice verse 5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. The people in Isaiah's day had obviously forgotten how the Lord had protected them in Egypt before he brought them out of Egypt by protecting them from the destroying angel who took all the firstborn of Egypt in one night. He passed over them. He preserved them. He protected them. And yet, what are they doing? They're going back down to Egypt for help. And due to the amazing grace and mercy of the Lord towards His people, they will see the Lord pass over to preserve His people when the angel of the Lord passes over the camp of the Assyrians, and in one night 185,000 enemies of the Lord and His people are destroyed. Their alliance with Egypt was with the arm of the flesh, not the finger of the Lord. Do you believe? Do you believe that if the Lord was to move against the errors and idolatries of secular humanism and godless atheistic materialism that is assaulting the church today, that they would lie in the dust as easily as the 185,000 Assyrians died? If God was to move in power to defeat all these foolish ideas, the church has lost its belief in the power of the Lord. The church has lost its trust in the power of God and His Word, and it's seen by its thinking it needs the help of idolaters to fight idolaters. God's people in Isaiah's day had forgotten what the Lord did in delivering them from Egypt. How many in the church today have forgotten what the Lord did in the first century? He turned the world upside down. How? By His people joining in with all the idolatries that were present in the first century? No, by simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He turned the world upside down. The church today doesn't believe in the power of the gospel of God. How many in the church today have forgotten what the Lord did in the 1500s when a few men were willing to stand for the truth of justification by faith alone? And what is the remedy for this foolish thinking and activity? Verse number 6. Turn ye unto Him for whom the children of Israel are deeply revolted. The church needs to repent of every and all forms of ecumenical cooperation with those who deny the biblical gospel of Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, to the glory of God alone. When the church starts to see that only the biblical gospel is blessed of God, then it will cast away its idolatrous unions. Verse 7, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. When the visible church sees the idolatry of ecumenical union with idolatries for what it is, sin, then it will see why looking to the Lord alone is the church's only hope. Verses 8 and 9. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young man shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. For the Lord is the one who has the power and ability to overpower the church's enemies and protect the church. The enemies of the church will be defeated. They will realize the folly of their idolatry and the truth that the living and true God is found only in the Word of God and through His gospel. A holy church, my dear people, is an awesome weapon in the hand of the Lord. You will know that the Lord is blessing His church and not chastising it when non-believers fear the church. Non-believers don't fear the church today. Non-believers don't fear what the church says today. Read through the book of Acts when God moved in power. People were aware of the gospel message. They were aware that God was doing something. You will know that the Lord is blessing His church and not chastising it when the non-believer doesn't mock and ridicule what it declares and says. Oh, will the Lord amaze us? Oh, that the Lord would amaze this generation of arrogant unbelievers and backslidden believers. That you are the one who can and will build your church. What a day to look for. What a day to pray for. What a day to hope for. The day when the church is more concerned about what the Lord thinks than what fallen men think. When the church sees the declaration of the truth as more important than dialogue. When the church sees acceptance with God as more important than acceptance and cooperation with men. When the church really sees that the Lord is the only power that His church needs, and the idols of compromise and cooperation with false teachers will be seen for the sin and idolatry that they are. Cease from men. This is what Isaiah is telling the people here. Cease from men. Don't think that idolaters can help those who profess to know and follow the living God. Who can comprehend? The church of the 21st century actually stood where the apostles in the first century stood. We must obey God rather than men. Do you see how gracious and merciful the Lord God can be to His church? It displays how backslidden it is when it seeks the help of man rather than the help of the Lord. But let them return unto the Lord. Let the church honestly confess its error and sin. And who can comprehend what the church will see the Lord do for it? See the truth of the covenant of grace with the Lord's blood-bought people, even though they succumb to the idea that using idolaters to defeat idolaters, if they turn from such foolish and dangerous ideas, He will have mercy upon them and destroy the camp of the Assyrians in one night. Who can comprehend what the Lord could do if believers truly saw Him as the only one they need to combat the wickedness and idolatry they are surrounded by? Do you see Him as the only one you need? When God is truly blessing His church, you will see it turning to Him and not to men for help and rejecting all their compromising and sinful alignments. When the evangelical church truly grieves for such documents as evangelicals and Catholics together, rather than seeing such alignments as necessary to defeat atheism, then the reformation and renewal that the church so badly needs will be upon us. When the church sees that the biblical gospel is all that it needs to turn this world upside down, and not thinking that its only hope is to compromise with error and idolatry, then true renewal will be seen in the church. When the church sees its compromise with error as sin, when the church sees its bowing at the altar of pragmatism as sin, then true renewal will be upon the church. Oh Lord, may we see it in our day. For what will happen with the enemies of God's people when true gospel holiness and separation is seen in the church? Her enemies will not be able to stand against her. The enemies of the church shall be routed and unable to assault her as they are presently doing. He who honors the Lord will honor. When they have cast away their idols, then shall the Assyrian fall. The angel of the Lord can do more in one night among the camp of the enemies of God's people than all the strength of Egypt. The church has the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Why? Why does it think it needs to compromise and align with those who by their very teaching and doctrine show they do not embrace or believe the Word of God? A compromising church must repent of its compromising if it is to truly see the power of the Lord. When the Lord undertakes for His church, His enemies are not mocking and rejecting the truth the church is proclaiming. They are trembling before it and crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, believer, realize what the Lord can do against the armies of error that are aligned against the church. Don't think you need to cooperate with error to defeat it. Lay out your burden before the Lord, then wait for Him to work to the glory of His name and His saving gospel. If you tremble before the false idolatries and ideas of men and think, "Well, we've got to do something other than hold fast to the Word of God," you are not looking to what God can do in a moment of His renewing power. The church is not going to see the hand of the Lord revealed against error and wickedness as long as it continues to give in to it on the right hand and on the left. When evangelical heavyweights see no problem with spousal benefits being extended to the sinful unions of men with men and women with women, the church is showing its denial of the power of the Word of God and not trust in it. Oh, to see non-believers tremble at the word that the church is preaching and not rejecting and ridiculing it. Oh Lord, will we see You act in amazing power and grace in our day? That should be our prayer. Will You confound and amaze both us and the non-believer? The Lord can do this through His church. Oh, search your heart, believer. Is there any place that you have given into the idols of pragmatism and truth-destroying ecumenicism? And if you find that there is, repent and seek the Lord for cleansing and forgiveness. Search your heart, believer. Is there any evil and sin that the world is constantly telling you is not that serious, that you are beginning to think, "Well, it isn't that serious"? Cast away the idol of indifference to your remaining sin. Don't be an Achan in the church of Jesus Christ. Be a Joshua. Be like Isaiah, who knew how dangerous it is to think that the problems God's people were facing could only be solved by turning back to the living and true God. Be like Isaiah, who knew how dangerous it is to think that the problems God's people were facing from those who did not believe in God could be solved by the help of others who also did not believe in the Lord. Oh, believe in and stand on the biblical gospel, Scripture alone, by God's grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, to the glory of God alone, even if you have to stand alone in professing it, and then you will be a blessing to the church. May you be a blessing to the church today.